Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Member by Ram Goldar and today Mazakh's Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Zain, the ninth parak Misha Mays. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Alav Aviv. A house collapsed on someone and his father or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba, a debt against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, Haben Mays Rishon V'Archachok Mays Av. The son died first, and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first, and the son inherited him dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yecholoku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechazkasan, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. The Rashbam explains that the father's heirs have a definite claim to inherit regardless of who died first, but the creditor's claim is uncertain since they can only collect if the father died first. Therefore, Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motzi midei vadei. An uncertain claim cannot extract from a certain claim. Beis Shammai holds that money which stands to be collected with a shtar is considered already possessed, so the creditors are considered to have an equal claim. Point number two, Shmuel asks, the eknet v'kana mahu, if a borrower writes in the shtar that he is meshubet whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become meshubet to the earlier loan? According to Rabbi Meir, that holds one can transfer a davar shalobo l'olam, something which has not yet come into the world, it's clear the lender can collect properties acquired later. Shmuel's question is according to the Rabban who say one cannot normally transfer a davar shalobo l'olam. Rav Yosef quotes a Mishnah in which a lender does collect a land which was acquired after the loan. However, Rava says there's no proof from a case where the lender collects land from the borrower himself. A creditor can collect anything from the debtor himself, even the cloak on his shoulders. Rather, Shmuel's inquiry is relevant in the following case, Deakne Kana Umacher, where he was Meshubit whatever I will acquire, and later acquired property and subsequently sold it, or Deakne Kana Vahorish. He said whatever I will acquire, and later acquired property and subsequently bequeathed it, so it's not currently in his possession. And point number three, the Gemara asks, assuming that Ekne is able to be Meshabed properties purchased later, Lava the Lava, if someone borrowed from one person and later borrowed from another person, stipulating to Ekne for each loan, V'chazivakana, Mahu, and then he bought property, what is the halacha? Is the acquired property Meshubet to the first lender, since his loan was first, or to the second lender, because the borrower, by saying to Ekne for the second loan, was retracting from the to Ekne stipulation in the first loan before it took effect? Rav Nachman said that the sages of Eretz Yisrael ruled that the first lender acquires the lien on the property. Rav Huna and Rabba Bar Avua say, Yachaloku, they divide the property proportionally according to their loans because it becomes meshubet to both simultaneously. In Ravashi's first cycle through his learning, he ruled that the first lender acquires it, and in his second cycle, he ruled Yachaloku. The lach is Yachaloku. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Alav V'la Aviv. A house collapsed on someone and his father or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba or debt against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, Haben Mays Rishon V'Archachok Mays Av. The son died first, and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first, and the son inherited him dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yecholoku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechazkasan, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. The Rashbam explains that the father's heirs have a definite claim to inherit regardless of who died first, but the creditor's claim is uncertain since they can only collect if the father died first. Therefore, Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motzi midei vadei. An uncertain claim cannot extract from a certain claim. Beis Shammai holds that money which stands to be collected with a shtar is considered already possessed, so the creditors are considered to have an equal claim. Point number two, Shmuel asks, the eknet v'kana mahu, if a borrower writes in the shtar that he is meshubet whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become meshubet to the earlier loan? According to Rabbi Meir, that holds one can transfer a davar shalobo l'olam, something which has not yet come into the world, it's clear the lender can collect properties acquired later. Shmuel's question is according to the Rabban who say one cannot normally transfer a davar shalobo l'olam. Rav Yosef quotes a Mishnah in which a lender does collect a land which was acquired after the loan. However, Rava says there's no proof from a case where the lender collects land from the borrower himself. A creditor can collect anything from the debtor himself, even the cloak on his shoulders. Rather, Shmuel's inquiry is relevant in the following case, De'ekne kana u'macher, where he was meshubet whatever I will acquire, and later acquired property and subsequently sold it, or De'ekne kana v'horish, he said whatever I will acquire, and later acquired property and subsequently bequeathed it, so it's not currently in his possession. And point number three, the Gemara asks, assuming that Ekne is able to be Meshabed properties purchased later, lava the lava, if someone borrowed from one person and later borrowed from another person, stipulating to Ekne for each loan, v'chazav akana, mahu, and then he bought property, what is the halacha? Is the acquired property Meshubed to the first lender, since his loan was first, or to the second lender because the borrower, by saying to Ekne for the second loan, was retracting from the to Ekne stipulation in the first loan before it took effect? Rav Nachman said that the sages of Eretz Yisrael ruled that the first lender acquires the lien on the property. Rav Huna and Rabba Bar Avua say, Yachaloku, they divide the property proportionally according to their loans because it becomes meshubet to both simultaneously. In Rav Ashi's first cycle through his learning, he ruled that the first lender acquires it, and in his second cycle, he ruled Yachaloku. The lach is Yachaloku. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Our standard siman is cones, and we use ice cream cones for the siman, ice cream cones. So here goes. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de'ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him de'ekne. Once again, slow motion. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone, that must be run duff, kuf nun zayin, cones, ice cream cones. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, nafal bayis olam v'lo aviv, a house collapsed on someone and his father or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba or a debt against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, haben meis rishon v'achachach meis av, the son died first and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first and the son inherited him before dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechazkasim, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motz mi dei vadai, an uncertain claim, cannot extract from a certain claim. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de ekne, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, de ekne v'kana mahu, if a borrower writes it in the shtar that he's meshabed whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become meshubed to the earlier loans? So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de'ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him de'ekne, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses what the din is if one borrowed from two people saying de'ekne and then purchased property. So once again. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ein safek motz mi dei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de'ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him de'ekne. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf kuf nun gimel. So the simon daf kuf nun gimel is a king. So here goes. The king, that must be daf kuf nun gimel. The king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which include the words B'chaim u'b'maves, which reminds us there was a shtar written by a shchimera, which stated B'chaim u'b'maves, I give you this gift in life and in death. Rav said it's considered a matna shchimera because since he wrote b'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of B'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'alma d'chaya, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote b'chayim, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of b'maves was like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar which included the words b'chayim u'b'maves was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, which reminds us, a b'raisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a shchimira or a bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says a benefactor can take back the property without proving he was the Shechimira, but the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. He follows the Chazaka of the property, which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he's currently a Bari, he must prove he was a Shechimira then. If he's currently a Shechimira, they must prove he was a Bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim u'b'maves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a reshus of rabbim regarding tumah in the summer and a reshus of yachid in the rainy season, which reminds us, a Mishnah says about a bika, a valley of grain fields, that during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a reshus of yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it's a reshus of rabbim regarding questions of tumah and cases of doubtful tumah are ruled tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, during the rainy season, when produce is growing and people do not enter the field, it's a reshus of yachid for tumah as well. Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Dalet is a candy man. So here goes. The man looking for aiding to verify his star from the Candyman, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The man looking for aiding to verify his star from the Candyman, gifting him a stash of candy, so the Candyman's claim that it was a Matna Shchimera could be ignored, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a Shchimera at the time, Remer says the giver must prove he was a Shchimera, and the Chachamim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. Amoraim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says Rai be'edim, proof with edim that he was a Shechimira at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machokas quote on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's Chazaka. Other Amoraim say Rai be'kima shtar. The Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. So the man looking for aiding to verify his star from the Candyman gifted him a stash of candy, so the Candyman's claim that it was a Matna Shechimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, which reminds us, someone once sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu Lobotko, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yatam Rishayim Unavu, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim and maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. So the man looking for aiding to verify his star from the Candyman, gifting him a stash of candy so the Candyman's claim that it was a Matna Shechimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a star giving away property, but it was a star pasim who wasn't believed, which reminds us, the Mishnah Bar Kabar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented a star that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the star was not forged, but says it's a star pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or a star amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land, but did not, voiding the sale, then if Adim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the star. Daf Kuf Nun Hei. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Hei is reeds. So here goes. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Hei, Kana, reed. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, which reminds the Gemara asks, Katme emasai mocha benichse aviv, from when can a youth who is unfamiliar with business sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but metaltalin may even be sold by a 6 or 7 year old. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old, but Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara brings a machlokas if it's within his 20th year or after his 20th year. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who is only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua says, L'edus eduso edus. Regarding edus, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid testimony. Marzutra says this only applies to metaltalin, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors, which reminds us, Amemar says, "Umatnasu matana," and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. He would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so people would do things for him. Daf Kuf Nun Vav. So the symbol of Daf Kuf Nun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing. That must be on Daf Kuf Nun Vav, canoe. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, which reminds us, Shmuel said, we check a youth for Simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miun. The Gemara explains why Shmuel said they should be checked. So the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolai, which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer responded, B'nei Rochel Tikborom Iman, Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They are wicked people. Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, Hamakayim kotzim kerem, if one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kaddish, this condemns the field as kolaim, but the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kolaim except davar shekamohu mekaimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kolaim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their animals, it makes kolaim. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolaim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos, which reminds us, in the next mission, Rabbi Eliezer says, B'Shabbos Dvarv Kayamin, if a shchimira gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, mifnei she'in yachol lichtov, since he cannot write, avro b'cho, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that shchimira was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, B'Shabbos Amr, they said his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kavachomer b'cho, then it certainly is on a weekday. He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can when he has that ability. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff to discuss what the din is if the former owner challenges a shtar saying it's a shtar pasim or shtar amana, that's on duff? Kufnendal. Good number two. Which stuff do we mean that we check youths for simanim regarding kedushin, gerushin, chalitza, and miyunin? That's on dav. Kufnun Vav. Good number three. Which of the one a shchimira can retract from a gift even if he does not recover and even give it to another, such as in the case of Rami Bar Chama's mother? That's on dav. Kufnunov. Good number four. Which stuff in the case of Safek Tum in a field that is a Rishus of Rabim in the harvest season and a Rishus Yachid in the rainy season? That's on dav. Kufnun Gimel. Good number five. Which stuff to discuss what the din is if one borrowed from two people saying Dakne and then purchased property? That's on dav. Kufnun Zayin. Good number six. Which stuff to be machlokes if the giver must prove he was a shchimira with Edim or with the Kimur Shtar? That's on dav. Kufnun Dal. Good number seven. Which stuff do we have the sugya of Dakne if property purchased after a loan can become a shubah to the loan? That's on dav. Kufnun Zayin. Good number eight. Which stuff do you know the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift? That's on Duff. Kufnun Hey. Good number nine. Which stuff do the case of a house that collapsed on someone and his father or anyone inherits, and there was a ksuba or debt against the son's assets? That's on Duff. Kufnun Zayin. Good number ten. Which stuff do we have machlokas if Rochel's sons were reshaim for maintaining kotzim in their kerem? That's on Duff. Kufnun Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.